Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Bill, we got 2 out of 3 from the Yankees and we swept the White Sox. I'm kind of on cloud nine because I said if the Tigers got one from the Yankees, I'd be thrilled. Now, that is a little bit of a loser mentality. I understand that. It's kind of ridiculous to hope for one game, but going into it, I wasn't 100% sure that we were the team that we seem or appear to be. What did you see?
First and foremost, I have to say, I love that you licked your lips. Like, as you said, we got a serious win on the Yankees. I think that speaks volumes, Chet. Let's go with the ceiling. They took 5 of 6 at home. April in the D, all day baseball. Game one against the Yankees, they won 6-2. It was snowing. Let's talk
something about snow in baseball that doesn't sit well with me.
No, ESPN.com ran an article where they were doing like a hot stove cool meter, and they said April in the D or Comerica was their kind of cool meter. So overall, I'm really pleased just like you are. And I think this is all we could probably hope for. The one thing I will say is today's game was the one that's going to probably stick in everybody's craw for a bit for the fact that it was a 4-3 loss. All three runs coming in the bottom of the ninth for the Tigers. The fact that they limited Aaron Judge in this lineup to so few runs throughout the series is nothing short of amazing. I think it was, I don't want to say expected, but it's much more reasonable with a team like the White Sox that has, let's face it, very few proven major league players. And you look at this Yankees lineup, I know their pitching's a little banged up, but man, their 1-9 is no joke. I mean, it really is no joke. So I'm very pleased, and I'm going to pass it back over to you just on any final thoughts before we kind of do a game-by-game recap on the Yankee series.
Like I said, you sweep the Sox, then you go into a Yankee series, you take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, you get the first two, you make a little late threat in game three, which is, you know, fine, okay. That game was really tight through 7 innings. So I'm thrilled with the outcome. I'll take 5 out of 6 at home any day of the week. And I have zero complaints. I'm ready for Milwaukee and the Twins.
Absolutely. Speaking of, I did finalize my plans. I'm going to go up to Milwaukee Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's impressive.
Very impressive.
That's very impressive. Do you work from the ballpark? How are you pulling that off?
I might
make a few deals in the seats.
Yeah, there might be playgrounds sold.
All right. Good for you.
Game one, let's talk about this against the Yankees as promised from our last pod. The Tigers won 6-2. It did snow. I just have to give a shout out. I did pay the $150 for MLB at bat. I'm thrilled to have it because Jason Benetti and Andy Dierks are nothing short of
glorious.
Glorious announcing.
Benetti is state of the art.
He is so great. And we can save it for another episode. So we'll tease it here. But I talked to some folks today that I know in the know, and they gave me the down and dirty on why Benetti left the White Sox. So
fascinating.
We can tease that maybe for the next White Sox series. Anyhow, those two are, amazing. I can't believe there is a website, Awful Announcing, and they review all 30 teams, color commentators, analysts, so on and so forth. They placed 6th last year, but I imagine they're going to be on the upswing. The one complaint they had is that they were rotating basically like a who's who of Tigers from yesteryear, Gibby, yeah. Petrie, so on and so forth. Even Lance Parrish, my guy, through the lineup. I think now that he and Dierks are getting some repertoire, I fully expect them to go higher on the list. With that, let's talk about game one. The announcing was great. And the performance on the field was just amazing. I'm going to do something that's called heroes. Andy Ibanez, three-run dong to get the scoring started. Casey Mize was absolutely amazing. Javi Baez, our guy, showed up and got timely hits and made an El Mago play in the field. Basically, Tyler Holton threw a four-seam fastball. It was rocketed back to him from the batter. It hit his glove, and El Mago just picked it up so cleanly, not really, and turned two, and it was awesome. And the bullpen was nothing short of amazing. I do have a goat, and it's a little bittersweet because when I made these notes, I was like, hey, we can finally pick on Margot a little bit for coming up lame on a what appeared to be a fairly routine fly ball in right field. Ironically, he is now hurt and was sent down to the 10-day injured list. So my picking on him is a little less fun, I guess, or funny, because he may have actually hurt himself in that. The weather was extremely cold. As I said, it snowed, it was sleeting, it was raining. I don't think it ever got above 45 degrees in any of these three games at Comerica Park, which is not really baseball weather. That's my game one recap. Chet, would you have any additional thoughts that you'd like to share?
I'm going to give you a couple things that stuck out to me. One, Jake Rogers, not the guy with the bat typically, but boy, he took three walks in that game. If you got a guy who doesn't hit, but he's taken three walks in a game, I can get behind that.
Absolutely.
He also hurt himself at some point over the last 72 hours.
Yes.
And so he is, I believe, on the IL now. So we are without the mustache. We don't have the big mustache helping us out for a little bit, but I think we're going to be okay. Dingler has looked nothing short of superb over this series. He did not play in game one, but he has looked nothing short of superb. Justin Henry Molloy, J-Hen as they call him, may never go down to AAA again. He's 2-for-5 in this game. And I believe it was game two he did what I have never seen. You ever seen him take a walk? When he gets a walk,
yes,
he does a bat flip.
Yeah.
Oh, my. You want to talk about angering the traditionalists of the game. But I love it.
Wait,
that he does a bat flip when he gets a walk. That is incredible.
I couldn't agree more. And the fact, does it anger the purists or traditionalists? Or does it excite them for the fact that he's acknowledging what they've always known? Getting on base is so valuable.
It's a great point.
It doesn't matter if you get a hit or if you draw a walk. As the leadoff man, I firmly believe right now he is the straw that's stirring the drink for the hitting on this team thus far. He's taking pitches. He's taking walks. He's not always displaying, I guess, great hitting for average acumen and great hitting for power acumen. But I think that'll come in time, given that, you know, how young he is in his career. And the fact that the Tigers are batting him leadoff continually, even though they don't have a position for him, he's been basically the DH the entire season.
I enjoy watching him. He's kind of he's the new wave prototypical leadoff hitter now.
Love it.
Is what they're calling it. You don't necessarily need the speed, but you have to have the eye. You have to have the approach. And more than anything, you got to get on base.
Couldn't agree with you more. Moving on to game two, 5-0 shutout win for the Tigers. Again, gunmetal gray skies in Detroit and Comerica Park. The heroes, Zach McKinstry really came on. Our guy Torque still hit, and Tarek Skubal is not only on the leaderboard, he has a win in the wins and loss column, but he did ask a question of Jason Benetti after his opening day start and said, "What's my ARA?" And it was awesome to watch in real time the game inning by inning on the MLB app, watching his ERA just drop.
Just plummet.
Yeah. And so 6 scoreless innings, he did great. And I think the only disappointing thing about the first two games is that we do not have Jake Rogers due to injury, and Margot's injured as well. I guess my question to you is, where's the facial hair makeup going to come now that Jake Rogers is out? I mean, we've got Dingler behind the plate and at batting just fine, but who's going to make up for that mustache?
I kind of feel I'm not 100% sure. Relievers don't count. Relievers have all sorts of weird facial hair going all the time. I mean, there's no, you can't count on a reliever. I'm not saying they can't have it. I'm not saying they don't do it well, but these guys roll out to the mound. They got all sorts of crap going on in their face. You need a position player with facial hair, it's really not even facial hair. It's just a thick mustache that looks like a caterpillar walked up and died on your upper lip. That's what we want. So I'm looking at possibly, I don't want to mess with Torkelson right now. Whatever he's doing has been beautiful. So I don't want him growing facial hair. I don't want him changing his swing. I just want him to stay in the same. I want him to wake up on the same side of the bed, and I want him to walk out to the batter's box the way he does every game. I don't want to change anything there. I don't want to Cole Keith him. I think Dylan Dingler, as good as he's been playing, a mustache can only help. Thoughts?
I mean, he's playing at such a high level.
Lights out.
And I don't think anything can stop him right now. I, going back to your superstition theory with Torque, I'm a little worried. Might we do the same with our guy? How about for Sunday's pod, we'll find who has the best potential facial hair. Obviously, I do have to do an asterisk on this because Javi probably will not remove that full body hood that he wears this time of year because it's cold. And so we won't even know if he has facial hair or even a face for that matter.
I want you to picture something. Yeah, Javi wears like a balaclava out on the field when it's 55 degrees.
He looks like Wayne Fonts back in the day playing at Lambeau.
Picture Riley Green with a big thick stash perched up there on his upper lip.
You start your MVP campaign right there.
I feel like it is. I feel Aaron Judge needs some sass.
He can't grow facial hair because of the team he plays for.
Aaron Judge? I don't think he has follicles on his face either.
Well, it doesn't matter, but he's a baby. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No. Or there's limitations to it. They wouldn't allow, you know, a Jake Rogers stash, the caterpillar on the upper lip.
Henry Molloy, is J-Han an option for a stash?
I think he's too young.
He'd look like Ron LaFleur or something with a stash, wouldn't he?
Great reference. All right, let's get to game three because we're going to try to keep this one quick. Today, it was a 4-3 loss. It was there for the taking as the only frustration, but the fact was they were down 4-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. Everybody chipped in. I don't really have a particular hero. Zach McKinstry continues to hit. If this stays, he's going to be on the team. And I think we've already established the case for Molloy. So my question is, as people start getting healthy, outside of Ryan Creedler, who is going to get sent down? We'll tease that for another time, but that is just food for thought. And then my guy.
We'll tease it for another time, Margot.
He's already down. He's hurt.
Well, but he's going to be gone. Yeah. When people get healthy and come back, I think he's the odd man out.
Of course. And then Tyler Holton finally gave up some runs.
I saw that. Your guy.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, here's
my fantasy guy.
They played the Yankees in three games, and they gave up 5 runs. And if you look at that lineup, that is, I really think, the story of this. Again, we knew the pitching would be good. We were optimistic about the bullpen coming together. But let me just go through this lineup. You've got Rice batting leadoff, designated hitter, followed by Judge, by Bellinger, by Goldschmidt. I mean, I'm extrapolating because he needs to have a longer career, but of those first four, Goldschmidt's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and then there's a great likelihood that Judge will be in the Hall of Fame. So that's two of your first four hitters. Then, when you think it's going to get easier, you go to Jazz Chisholm, Volpe, Dominguez. They bring in Grisham.
I was about to say, they're bringing guys like Trent Grisham in off the bench.
Yeah, Escara, but they can also bring in Austin Wells at any given point. Yep. He does have facial hair, so maybe the Yankees are getting a little lax.
Well, they did. They loosened that up, by the way, a little bit.
Still one of the best.
I think Simpsons. You can have tight facial hair, but you can't go nuts.
You can't go Jake Rogers, so.
No. You can't go like Morse, like beard, like what's his name? Morse used to have for the Nationals or whatever his
oh,
name
God,
was.
Oh, God, that thing was great. Oh. And then their ninth hitter is Oswaldo Cabrera, who's batting over 300 and playing third base. I mean, it's just similar to the Dodgers. It's an embarrassment of riches. So here's what I really want to, I guess, just wrap up from my standpoint. The Tigers are 7-5. They are still on top of the American League Central, and they have played three games against, I would say, the American League favorite, the New York Yankees, and they've played three games in Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles against the Los Angeles Dodgers, the National League favorites. I would say that's pretty darn good because they were in all three games against the Dodgers, and they were certainly in all three games against the Yankees. So
it sounds weak, but they competed against the Dodgers every game. You're
that's
right.
My
they
thing
were
is
in all those games, and they took the damn Yankees right down to the last out. So, yeah, you can't ask for, you know, we'd like a win in LA, but one, I'm going to give you another piece, another tidbit here. Today, every hitter in the Tiger lineup, according to Baseball Savant, every hitter in the Tiger lineup had a hard hit ball, which is over 95 miles an hour. Exit.
Impressive.
Every hitter except Trey Sweeney, who came out as a pinch hitter for Creedler, and Zach McKinstry. Yet Zach McKinstry went 2-for-4. So
and had two RBIs.
With a triple, two RBIs, so who cares if he got a hard hit ball? But the rest of them, they're all dialed in at least one contact throughout the whole game. I will say that your guy, Spencer Torkelson, Torkelson, the Torquedo is on a roll right now. This guy, I don't know what he did. And there have been reports. There's always like the off-season preparation. You know, it's like it's almost a cliche at this point for anybody that comes out hot and says like, oh, they did all this off-season. I'm sure he did some off-season prep. He's trying to keep his spot on the damn team. But he is on fire.
He's secured his spot, I think, through these first 12 games. So I get that it's only 8% of the season, but he's playing extremely well. Again, we got to give kudos to Justin Henry Molloy. Riley Green's just being a stalwart. We've talked about Dylan Dingler. We need Keith to get hot at some point, and then we got to throw some bouquets towards Javi Baez. 1-for-4 today with one run. He's batting .321 for the season.
Like the rising Phoenix.
Exactly.
Javi and then Baez.
McKinstry as well, 2-for-4. You already talked about it, batting .371. It's really just kind of the guys that have been called up for emergency purposes due to injuries, i.e. Ryan Creedler, that are struggling. And then Kerry Carpenter continues. He's really good from one or facing a pitcher that is right-handed. Today, Max Fried, who we should give some love to. I mean, the Yankees got seven unbelievable innings from him.
Sure.
And he was just dealing.
It's 11 gonna be, Ks.
I know. I mean, against a good lineup that was hitting. Yeah. So I think this lineup's going to look a lot different once guys get healthy. Again, I think getting, you know, a three-run dong Monday from Ibanez is just huge. And what McKinstry has been able to do, he's not going anywhere. Zach's going to be with this team on the 26th. Through the season. I think we knew that preseason. And Trey Sweeney's done well. His average isn't showing it, but he's had timely hits. He's kept his bat on his shoulder when he's needed to. Again, I think Creedler needs some more seasoning. And then we'll get back to the Colt Keith debacle at this point. He's back at second base. He looks shaky at periods in the field because he's moved from first to second and back. And Torres should be coming back here soon. So second base will not be an available position. At this point, I think you'd really have a tough time getting Molloy out of that lineup, given all the good that he's done batting leadoff. So
I am going to give you one weird stat here before we depart. Trey Sweeney, you kind of mentioned, you know, he's sort of doing his thing, whatever. You do realize that through, I think it was game two of the Yankees series, I don't know what the recent game, what this does, he had the second highest WAR on the team so far this season.
Yeah, you mentioned that in one of our texts. And
which is insane to me, but
very, very,
wonderful.
Very impressive. And all I was going to say to that is great research on your part. And the future continues to look bright for this team. And we'll talk more about it on Sunday. Nobody's running away with this division. the Twins are really stumbling out the gate. The White Sox look, again, more like a rebuilding team that will probably have well over 100 losses. The Guardians have stumbled out the gate. And, you know, I'm wondering a little bit now why maybe they didn't stick with Tito. I know he had some health concerns, but he's doing good management work. You know, I don't value a manager on wins and losses all that much. But I think, you know, like A.J. Hinch, Terry Francona is one of the elite managers. And to let him go, you know, just downstate, I think is a little bit of a short-sighted.
I will be very curious to see how we do against the Twins. I think that's a huge indicator for where this team's at right now.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to be who we're competing with them in Cleveland for this division going forward this season. So we'll see how they fare away from home, away from the, you know, kind of the hype of the opening series at home, and see how they do against a good Twins team that's kind of underperforming. So we'll see what happens.
April in the Twin Cities. April in the TC.
Will be fairly nice this weekend, though, so I think they're going to get some decent weather. All right, Bill, what do you think? Is that it? We're good? We're wrapped?
That's it.
We got it all covered? All right, man. Enjoy your trip to Milwaukee.
Enjoy your pickleball.
I don't think I'm going to get out to a game this weekend, unfortunately. I had too many things, but we'll see if I squeeze one in. Maybe on Sunday. I doubt it, though.
Well, if the Tigers, we'll see. I mean, if they're 0-2 going into Sunday's game, you better get there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens to bring the magic around, right? Maybe I'll grow a mustache for it and sit in the front row.
That I would love to see.
Enjoy your day off tomorrow.
See you. Bye.
Talk to you.